For those of you that did not fully grasp what I was saying, let me just read a passage for you as we begin this morning, found in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I'm sure that Paul in this passage is speaking about himself. Let me begin to read at the 7th verse of this chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. This is the part I want us to pay special attention this morning to. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The reason that we see in many of the countries where persecution and suffering is more than we can even realize in our own hearts what's happening, they find themselves in a place of weakness. They don't have a choice. It seems like that we have a choice because of the circumstance in which we live. But Paul says here that rather than him be puffed up, the Lord spoke to him and said, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to it though. Let it sink in. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Let's go farther. But gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I pray this morning that God in some small way can break that upon our hearts. That we may be here for one purpose, to do the will of our Father. No other reason. I know a lot of us have a lot of reasons. And I'm sure that in this experience of Paul, God knows best. You say, well, if God wanted me to be weak, he'd put a thorn on in my flesh, like he did Paul. Maybe you have one this morning and don't know it. Not willing to recognize your weakness for how strong you are, and you're pressing on just to exist rather than realizing that we are dead. Our life is hid in Christ in God. We're so alive. I'm taken back as I continue to meditate upon the Word. I see there's much exhortation to maturity, much exhortation to those that are in suffering. But I think there's one thing that really stands out in all of these epistles that you read. There is an intense concern for the very survival of the saints. That's more than just trusting that we will mature. The survival of the saints. some of the expressions that I'm going to use this morning are very crude, and I ask your apologies. But the only way that I know to, it's the only way that God has revealed to me up to this point that will drive the truth to your heart. Our attitudes, if we will admit it, is an attitude of take it or leave it. We come to a kind of a smorgasbord or a buffet, and we take what we want. God never, in all of his working, gives us a buffet to take what we want. He gives us what we need. This is revealed, and you can see it worked out in a very clear way, and many, an explanation of it, a concern for it, and God's taking the children of Israel out of bondage. His provision for them was his provision. They were not satisfied with his provision. And of course, we read the story, we hear the implications, we see the severity of God's judgment, but it doesn't take a hold of us. We're too strong. We're too strong in our minds. Too strong in our wills. God wants your will strengthened, but he wants it to be placed in him, in his will. Nothing else. Nothing short of that. Not a choice. He knows what we have need of. And he gives us that need. But how many times does it continue to come? We do not respond. An attitude. What it actually amounts to is an attitude of unbelief. Now, we're either going to benefit by these words this morning that I trust will encourage us, or we will put up a wall of defense. But let me say this, and this is not in defense of myself, but I have nothing against you. I love you. I have no reason to provoke you other than in love. No reason. But I sense the concern of God for us. I sense that the time is so short. Of course, we can get excited about that and think, well, he's coming back, but our time, your time, is very short. I mean, just what God has given you is, as far as the expanse of your life in this world, very short. 70? Not a long time. I think some of us, we're perched, ready to live forever, and we think we're going to. So we put off what we know God wants, and we'll do it tomorrow. Same thing, the unbelief that each one of us have in our hearts because we're too strong. The attitude of I'll take what I want. I'll take it or I'll leave it. May God have mercy upon us. There's no taking or leaving. It's today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God is speaking. God is making provisions for us. He wants to build in our lives all that he is. He wants to conform you to his image. The only way he can do that is if you are committed to your union in Christ. I hear all of these explanations about predestination, and it grieves my heart so many times because they've got it on people rather than on God's plan. There's one plan that God has, and that's Christ. And if you're in Christ, you're predestinated to be conformed to his image. God doesn't take and choose one and not choose the other. God has made one place that this predestination works, and that is in Christ. His plan. His plan. And if you're in Christ, that means a vital union with him. Not just something you think about once in a while, but something that has possessed you. Because that's what he does. That's not just words that I'm using this morning. He comes to envelop us, control us, empower us. Most of all, to control us, lead us and guide us. And we all pray for that, but we don't want to give up the power that we have on our own lives. He wants to be that power. But you've got to release it. He's not going to come in and force. Because everything that we know about in this great salvation is all revealed in love. And I sense in my own heart that I know so little bit about this. I read about it. I read what it will do. I experience a little bit of it, but I come to a realization that I know so little of it. Until you come to that place, we'll continue to go on our way and do what we want to, and the love of God will not control us. We don't want that control. We don't want to release that control. Whether we take and make excuses, whether we say that we're waiting on God, how long are you going to wait? Well, God's changing you. How long? Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. We make excuses for going on with God. We put it off till tomorrow. We put it off because, well, you know, I need to see more. How much you need to see? God is faithful to show you the next step. Are you taking it? That's all that matters. Nothing else. None of us have any excuses. You may think you do, but I've come to the conclusion in my own heart, I have no excuses. God is faithful to put that next step before me. Am I willing to walk in it? Am I allowing Him to prepare me for what He wants? Because He prepares us. I mean, He never brings us to today without preparation in our lives. We need to take a look at this area. I know it's something we've gone over and over and over again, but I don't think we can go over it too many times. You may think so, but I don't. Turn with me to Hebrews 3 and 4. Do you know what the rest of God is? What is the rest of God?
He's in control.
Come on, clearer than that. You need a clearer expression than that. That's part of it, but what is the rest of God? Looking for a response from you.
Just use my own words.
Is that it?
And to end it.
Hmm?
And to end it is rest.
What is His rest?
His words.
What does that mean to us? What is that rest? If you don't know, you'll be sold a bill of goods. You'll think the rest is a Sabbath. Not in the New Covenant. What is the rest? Come on, it's simple. This is not a trick question.
Christ is the rest.
Amen, brother. Christ is the rest. I'm dead. My life is hid in Christ, in God. Christ is the rest. There is a rest. And He tells us to strive to labor, to enter into that rest. This isn't something that we're doing to receive salvation. Salvation is free. I think most of us understand that. Nothing that we have done is what He has done. But the rest, to enter into that rest, to where we cease from our labors, and we now know the working of God in our lives. It's His works that are coming forth. It's no longer I, but it's Christ that's alive. It's Christ that's working. It's my intimate relationship with Him that is producing the works that are flowing out of our lives. Nothing originating in me, in Him. Sometimes I think we think we have some work. Not separate from Christ. You have no work. That's revealed at Calvary. If you've really tasted with understanding of what it cost God, you'll see that the worth is in Christ. And He gave the best. Not just for a bunch of individuals, but for the world. That we can come in. And we can enjoy what He created man for. We can enter into it. Let's look at these two chapters. Probably be better to just stay right in order with three and go through it very quickly. Verse 7, wherefore as the Holy Ghost saith today, if we will hear His voice. Don't put it off till tomorrow, today. In God's timing, it's always today. You don't have any promise of tomorrow. You can't do anything about yesterday. It's today. Don't it? Today, if you hear His voice. Very, very clear, very distinct. God's not playing with us. There's no tricks to this. Here it is. God has opened the door, He says, today, if you hear His voice. Harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. We know, you've heard, you've even heard me say it, that the marching around for 40 years was to kill off the old generation, because they had hearts of unbelief. They were not satisfied with God's provision. They were murmurers. They were fornicators. They were not satisfied. They were not believers. They did not know the ways of God. And what did God do? He said, it's wonderful. He was taken to the promised land. He took the younger generation to the promised land, along with two men. You all know the story. I'm not going through that this morning. But all of that, even though He is speaking about entering into a promise that He had given, the rest is Christ. The rest that He speaks about, that He continues to speak about, is Christ. There remains a rest for us to enter into. And He tells us what that is as we get on over in this. Wherefore I was grieved with this generation and said, they do always err in their hearts. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief. As I said, an attitude of take it and leave it. It's so easy just to leave it. We come to certain times in our lives, and the Word of God sometimes takes a hold of us, and it won't turn us loose, it seems like. Well, we want God to do this every time in our lives. We don't want to hear His voice and respond, but that's what He says. Today, if you hear my voice. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Daily exhorting one another. What's this mean? Strongly encouraging one another. This isn't coming together and just patting each other on the back and telling you how wonderful it is. Strongly encouraging you. Because, as I said, lot of the strong encouragement is that there was a fear that many of the saints would not finish the race. We don't realize that. We just think, well, it's always there. I can partake of it anytime I want to. You can't. I found that that's not true. Look what it says. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you being hardened. Of course, we don't believe that can happen, but here's why it happens. Through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin has hardened us. The way of sin has hardened us. Way of moving separate from God. Having a form of godliness, denying the power of God. All of these things speak to us. Speaks to me this morning. Speaks to me, whether you realize it or not, it speaks to me of His love. Maybe this morning it seems too hard. But to me it's His love reaching out and telling me that this race can only be won if I keep the faith. And it tells us that in the Scripture. The warnings that come to us, you see that is that we keep the faith, that we go on in faith. That's the important thing. And of course, faith to us is a word. We read about it. Faith is life. It's the way that God has brought to us. Faith comes from Christ and is finished in Him. This walk of faith, this walk in life, this walk in light, this walk in power, this walk in the Spirit, it's ours, but we must exercise faith. And He's the giver of it all. It's so easy that we let it slide by and say, well, someday. And we put the blame back on God. God, if you really wanted me to have what you're talking about, you'd give it to me today. God has never passed by any hungry soul. So don't justify yourself before God. If you're not experiencing what God has for you, it's because you're not hungry. You're not thirsty. Simple as that. You don't like me saying that, but that's the reason. You're not hungry. You're too strong. Doesn't feel good, does it? Doesn't sound good. Too harsh. These are not the words of man. These are the words of God speaking to us. And they are straightforward, telling us where the trouble really is. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Lord, the new covenant is the steadfastness of our faith. Glory. While He says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. You say, we're not back there. No, we're right here this morning. The provision that He's given for us must be lived out in union with Christ. If we're not in union with Christ, then we're no different than those in the wilderness. And yet God was in the midst of them. Christ was in the midst of them. It says so. He was that rock in a weary land. He was there when they needed something to quench their thirst. He was that rock. Glory. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they would not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? Clear. Simple. No, none of us this morning can come with an excuse. I don't have an excuse. He made the provision. All he asks you to do is simply believe. But see, we have defined what believe means. Believing takes effort. And we just don't want to put effort in this way. See, we've taken all of the effort out of what God's saying we do, and God's just going to float us in. God's working in us himself. It takes effort. He made us in such a way that we must exercise effort, not to obtain salvation, but to walk in faith. It takes effort. Let's go on. Chapter 4. Listen to the words, because they're up to date. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We don't have that fear. Somehow it has escaped us. We have been sold a plan of security that leaves us without the proper reverence for our God. You say, do you have fear? Yes, I do. How much? A lot. Not the tormenting fear. I have a tremendous fear of God. I want to please him. I don't want to do anything to displease him. My life lived out in his life. One thing, he never removes your choice. And it takes effort to put your will even to thinking about God. Which one of you can think about God without exercising your will? We want God to wave the wand over us and give us a new mind. All kinds of things. But it takes effort. Exerting our wills if we're going to see the work of God. That's what faith is all about. It's moving in the ability that he gives me. But it's moving. Today, if you hear, are you going to believe him? See, they heard, but it was not mixed with faith, as we go on to hear down. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Oh, man, you mean the gospel was preached to them in the wilderness? What it says. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Is that possible this morning that we miss what God has because what we hear is not mixed with faith? We don't take it with faith. We just take what we want. And sometimes we go away empty-handed. We pack our plate right, we don't get anything. Beloved, this morning, get something. Get something. For we which have believed to enter into the rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, though the work was finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. Now we would think, and of course this is the type that he gives, this is the revelation that is give it in part. They saw in part, but now the perfect has come. Because you read on over in the 10th verse of the same chapter. He that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It's all hinges to belief, all hinges to faith, really. But that's what this area of belief here is speaking about. It's not speaking about the belief that's associated with the demons. This is speaking about the belief that's associated with faith, that connection with God. In other words, when he has spoken, do we believe? Are we responding? They heard the good news, but it was not taken by faith. In other words, It takes two ingredients, hearing and faith. God has made it available to all of us. And he speaks to us this morning as he spoke to them. He never changes this. Are you thirsty? Not yet. I've talked to a number. I'm not ready yet. What are you waiting on? I'm just not ready yet. When are you going to be ready? I don't have enough understanding. That isn't what he said. That you're going to get it with understanding. Come on. You don't get things from God just because you have understanding. You get things from God because you hear his word and you respond in belief. You have faith. You take a hold of that word. I wouldn't be sitting here this morning unless, when the word came to me, unless I took a hold of it and believed it, I'd be dead. I took a hold of it. I stood upon it. I would not be denied. When he promised me the Holy Spirit, they said, do you want him? I said, yes. When? Now. Not tomorrow. Now. Did he fail? No. I took a hold of his word, his promise. I would not be denied till Jesus comes. This is his provision. Are we taking the time? Are we moving too fast? Are we satisfied with just the times of exhortation that God is giving us? Or do we need some more time to where we can be still, where we can pray with each other, where we can lay hands upon each other? Are we ready to believe? Are we hungering? Are we thirsting? Or are we just take what we want? In God's working, you don't take what you want. It may sound good. You take what God is saying to us. And I'm not talking about just every word. I'm talking about what God is saying. What is the underlying thought of God? That's what I'm interested in this morning. I'm not interested in just all the words that I am saying. I'm interested in the underlying thought of God. God is concerned. He has shown it in every way, and he's made provision in every way for your complete deliverance. Deliverance from and deliverance into. Glory. Brother, you can't do anything but shout. You wonder sometimes why we shout. Because we have a praise in our heart. There's a worship that flows from our very soul before the throne of God. Glory. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. We use this many times, but he's using it right here in this passage. What does it mean? For the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. Where we live, where I live. I can't escape it. God won't let me. Hallelujah. But see, there comes a time. We think that, you know, well, my time, maybe God is waiting for tomorrow, the next day. God's time is today, if you hear his voice. Harden my heart. You can't read the 78th Psalm or the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. You can't read those two passages where he's speaking about what happened in the wilderness. Because these are our examples. Huh? Those of us right here today, they've been written down for an example for us. They're not just there to where we can pass it and read it and say it's a wonderful story. And we can sit back and admire the grace of God, how He took two men and took the younger generation in, how He fought for them, how He gave them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They didn't have to plant. They reaped where others had planted. Glory. That's what the promised land was all about. Was this the rest? No, there remains another rest. Glory. Hallelujah. If that had been the rest, I would have missed. You would have missed it. It was not the rest. He is the rest. Glory. We don't have to miss it. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he knows the weakness. And that's why I said, my grace is sufficient. It is in weaknesses and my strength is made known. That's why I said this morning we're too strong. We have our arguments. Well, beloved, when you stand before God, when God speaks, there are no arguments. No arguments. They're gone. I can tell you how many arguments that I've had when I stood there, but when you stand there and you know His presence, they're gone. There's not one argument. There's not one excuse. How many times have you been there? A number of times I've been there with my excuses. Lord, here I am. I can defend my position, what I've done. When I knew His presence, there was none. I ask for mercy that I may obtain grace in the time of need. But I have need. See, when we're weak, we have needs. When we're strong, we can go on without it.
Right.
Beloved, whether you know it or not, you're weak. You think you're strong. Many of us think we're strong. We have a little knowledge, and it puffs us up. We think we're strong. We think we can wait for tomorrow. You can't wait for tomorrow. Today is the day. This is not pressing you. You still have a choice. But you may not have that choice tomorrow. And I'm not trying to put fear in you. But I've seen the people that waited for tomorrow. I've actually experienced people that passed on into eternity. I've seen young people pass on into eternity in just a moment of time. They were waiting for tomorrow. Don't let that happen. We think. We have control of it. We don't have any control of it. I don't have any control of it. This morning, I'm at His mercy. You're at His mercy. But His mercy is full. He is faithful. What has He really done? Let's take a minute. What has He really done? He wants you to be a part of His family. Not just in name. But He wants you to be a part of His family in nature, in ability. He wants to conform you to the image of His Son, because He's bringing all things to that completion, our union with God. That's what He's doing. And so the invitation, the gospel is, He wants you to be a part of His family. And He's made every provision that you can be a part, because we have nothing. When I'm weak, then He's strong. As long as I'm strong, there's no help. There's no hope. But when I'm weak, beloved, you'll see that your prayers go through. Yeah. It's when you're strong and you think, well, I can take it. You can't. When you're weak, He is strong. It's a glorious working I'm not going to continue to go on this morning too much, Father. I think you need to look at these two very seriously. This is speaking to us about Jesus Christ, the rest of God. Everything is being summed up in Him. So when we talk about rest, we must be talking about Jesus. We're not talking about days. Paul, in some of his letters to some of the churches and some of the people, he said, I'm afraid of you because you're taking and trusting in days and weeks and months and holy days. This new is a person. He did away with the old to bring in the new. The new and living way, alive unto God. Quicken. Man, this is not in your head. I think sometimes we think that religion, or what we call it, Christianity, is in our heads. It's not in our heads. Because if you haven't got that deposit of God in you, you don't have it. I don't care how much you got in your head. I don't care how much facts. I don't care how much psychology you may have, or theology you may have. Unless you have His deposit, you have nothing. He stands ready this morning. He says, and He's saying it to my heart. Because when He said, are you thirsty? And He spoke about rivers of living water flowing from within. He's talking about a continual thing. You got to start, but you got to continue. Beloved, I've got to continue to pray. Because when you stop drinking, it stops flowing. Mm-hmm. These are God's words. In other words, when you stop partaking of Him, when you stop moving in union with Him, there's no life flowing from you or me. So if you're thirsty and you haven't drank, drink this morning. If you have drunken, drink again. Drink again. Tell God that you're thirsty. I tell Him all the time, Lord, I'm thirsty. Thirsty, I want more of you. Do you ever get to the place that you've got enough? No. Sometimes I can't take the blessings and I have to say, Lord, just withhold it just for a little bit because this whole place can't take it. I mean, God's presence can so come upon you and the blessings is overflowing can be such a way that sometimes your physical body can't take the glory of God. That's possible. But I never get enough. You'll never get enough. You'll never get tired of saying, Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty for you. I want to know you. Say it any way you want to. That's what it amounts to. Because He said, if you're thirsty coming to me, I will give you to drink. If we're wanting God, we want to partake of life, because that's what it's all about. He said, come unto me. He's the one that gives life. He was saying the same thing to the religious leaders when He said, you know, you search the Scriptures and then you think you have eternal life. They speak of me and you will not come to me that I might give you. Are you thirsty? That I might give you? He's the one that overflows our life. Let me close. But I want to read that one passage again. 2 Corinthians 12. God's not a respecter of persons. Verse 9, chapter 12. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Automatic? Take some other scriptures that it's speaking about. It's faith. Without faith, there is no strength. I walk by faith. But if I'm strong, I don't need to trust Him. I'm not brought to that place. I wrote something down here. Let me see if I can find it. Concerning with the little word submission. So this is what it's all about. And here's what Ephesians 5:21 says in essence. Yield to the power and control of another. Perfect trust, perfect faith. Submission to Christ in all things. Submission to Christ in all things. This is a mouthful. You just don't, maybe you don't sense it. Doesn't grip you. Yield to the power and control of another. Man, for us to give up our control and give it to another. Only thing I can say, it takes God's mercy and grace to allow us to give it up. So that's the last thing we want to give up. Well, I say, I'm not going to submit to anybody, only to Jesus. When you submit to Him, you'll submit to others. You'll have no fear. You'll have the proper love and reverence. Your trust will be in Him. Let me read it again to you. And this is not just what this verse says, but this is what it means. When it says submit one to another, it means yielding to the power and control of another. That's what it means when you yield to God. That's what it means when Paul is saying that the Holy Spirit is speaking to him and saying, my grace is sufficient. He's yielding now in his weakness. He said, I'll rejoice where? In my strength? In my weaknesses, in the infirmities, in the persecutions. That's why I'm going to rejoice. Because when I'm weak, then I know His strength. It hasn't changed. To know His strength. Yield to the power and control of another. His name is Jesus. Perfect trust. Can you even comprehend that in? No, you can't. Perfect trust. Perfect faith. Submission to Christ in all things. This is the secret of a home that's moving in unity with God. If there's no submission, there's no oneness. There's no testimony. Listen to what it says. Because this is what it means. Yield to the power and control of another. We don't like to get out to these sticky areas. They're sticky. Because we make them sticky. But there's a door into fullness. We're afraid of these works because it takes away our liberty. Oh, no, it doesn't. Don't tell me it does. Because I'm here to refute you. When I gave control to Him, it brought me into focus. It brought me into peace. It brought me into His strength. It brought me into rest. I was no longer struggling to do something in myself. Listen to it again. Yield to the power and control of another. I don't have to fear. He knows where I'm at. He knows where you're at. You believe that? He knows what you're going through. But He can't. He does. He knows all things. He searches even the very intents, the thoughts of our minds. Tents of our hearts. He knows what you're going through. And only at this place of complete, utterly, utter rest in Him, trusting in Him, are you going to experience His strength. Beloved, it's this world around about us is tightening its grip. In every situation, it's moving to get your attention. To keep your attention in Him and thinking in Him. Remember what I said. It takes effort of our will. That means that I am empowered by God, because I can't will to do anything. He works in me the desire, the will to do. I'm talking about kingdom now, kingdom living in Him. He gives me that desire. He gives me the will. Because I see something, you see something that's more than just the natural working. You don't evaluate things by how things look to you and how you're going to benefit. You look to Him and the things that are done for the kingdom, for Him, for Jesus, persecuted for His sake. I'm here to know Him. I'm here to experience Him in the worst conditions that I can even imagine. It's hard for our minds to even conceive these. And rightly so. When you come to that place of weakness and your faith is active, you will see that He will be your strength. You say there are those that don't endure sometimes. Sometimes they pass on. He's grace also for dying. See, we look at death in a whole different way than the way God looks at it. In fact, Jesus said, those that believe on Me shall never die. See? We only look at the old husk here. This is going to pass away. I got news for you, brother. I'm never going to die. And if you know Him, you're never going to die. Oh, yeah. You're going to pass through a door. It's a moment's time. You pass from this world into His presence. And of course, you've been there all the time, haven't you? Amen. Haven't you? He said that we can come into His very presence, into the throne room. He made provisions for us to live there. Yes. In the worst conditions, not the best. We're looking for the best. But this morning I want to know that grace resting on me. And I know it's only there when I'm weak. As long as I can do it, I don't need Him. As long as you can do it, you don't need Him. That's the trouble with some of us sitting right here. We're too sufficient. Self-sufficient. We don't really need Him. Because when you do, you'll be there. You'll find it's a reality, you see. These are not just words that I'm saying. Well, He will be there. I can promise you that. How can you promise me? Because I know God. Not just overnight, but I've seen it happen in other people's lives. He is there. He is sufficient. All He asks us to do. And this is a spiritual exercise. It happens. Believe. Believe Him. What can I do? Believe. But I want to do something. You can't do anything. Believe. Well, how does believe act? It throws itself at the feet of Jesus, and you hear his words. My grace is sufficient for you when you're weak. You're going to find that your weakness is when I am made strong in you. So you can't get it when you're strong. Sometimes we don't realize how strong we are. Sometimes people say, you know, you're strong-willed. I had somebody say the other night, you know, you're stubborn. They just didn't see what was going on. I'm not stubborn. I just know where I'm standing. I'm not going to move. Simple as that. You say you're stubborn. No, no, I'm not stubborn. He can do with me what he wants to. But when you know where you're standing, you know who he is. Unmovable. I mean in your relationship. Now don't look at what's happening to you down here, because a lot of times we look at what's happening to us down here. We're looking at the persecution. We're looking at the little trials that we go through. And none of us are having such a bad time, are we? Huh? I'm sure there's a lot of people today in the world who'd like to take places with you. And they'll do like that fellow I told you about last week did. When they get here and live in your shoes, they want to go back to where they were. Because they truly sense that to live in our shoes, they will backslide. We can understand that, can we? This is the goodness of God, you say. This is God's permission. Do we really understand God? Do we understand why some suffer and some don't? Some that are victorious, some know God. We just go along in ease. In our weakness, may we hear what God's saying to us. I hope my words have not cluttered up everything, that you can't hear what God's saying to you. And that's to all of us. Not to just some of us. That's to all of us. Sometimes you say, well, he's not speaking to me. You know, I'm over here and I'm not untouchable. Yeah, you're just picking and choosing. You're walking around the counter here taking what you want. Take what God has for you this morning. Do you hear his voice? Is he speaking to you? If he's not speaking to you, why isn't he speaking to you? Have you ever been there and said, Lord, while on others you're calling, don't pass me by? Then when God's blessing others, I'm over here saying, Lord, bless me. I'm not talking about the blessings of this world. I'm talking about with his presence. I love to see others blessed. But I want to be in that youth that's being blessed. Just with him. No, nothing else. Not looking for the blessings of this world. I'm looking for the blessings of God. And then none of you are in heaven, and he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. None of you are in heaven yet. And we can experience that blessing because he has blessed us in Christ Jesus. In union with him, we have the heavenly blessings this morning. They're ours. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. How many of you don't want God to touch you? Lord? You sure?
Yeah.
He's not hearing you. Jesus! He still didn't hear you. Jesus! Following up with your call. Don't pass me by. He made the way for all. Gentlemen, I'm not preaching to you this morning. I'm entreating you. In the name of Jesus. Know his weakness.